Jesus is in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. They hand the young rabbi the scroll of Isaiah from which to read and teach. And Jesus reads this scripture. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Most of the people in the synagogue probably knew those words by heart. They were hopeful words that kept God's people together through centuries of persecution and defeat. Today we're having a tough time, but someday, promises Isaiah, there will be good news. God is coming to help the poor, to release the prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to liberate all those who are oppressed. They called this hoped-for time, when God's Messiah would come, the year of the Lord's favor. The year when God would finally remember God's people and come to save them. Someday, they thought, God would act decisively. While their cities were destroyed by foreign powers, when the temple was torn down, when they were hauled into exile, they believed that someday God would rescue them. Someday God would turn the tables on their oppressors and there would be good news. Maybe now they were powerless under the iron rule of Rome, but someday our day will come. God will come someday and He will make good on His promises. He will fulfill the promises of long ago. Someday. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on Him. And Jesus said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you have heard it." Today, it is fulfilled. Not someday in some distant future, but today it has come true. Today. Those listening that day to the words of Jesus were not at all ready to hear what He was saying. You see, future hope is pretty safe and comfortable. Future hope doesn't make us change the way we think or feel or act. Future hope is kind of vague and promising, and it makes us feel better. We believe that God will help us someday, and that gives us a good feeling. But when God comes to us now, it can be very hard. These hometown people could not accept the reality of what was before them. They could not grasp or accept that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, and in Him Isaiah's prophecy was coming true. How could Jesus be the Messiah? He was Joseph's son. Just like his father, Jesus was a carpenter. There was nothing special about him when he was growing up and working there. Now he's just a poor, itinerant rabbi. How can Jesus be the Messiah? The Messiah is going to be a dynamic leader who will raise an army and conquer the Romans. That's what everyone believed. The Messiah will bring Israel back to her days of power and glory. This simple carpenter can't be the Messiah. And then Jesus went on to talk about how God sent Elijah to a Gentile widow to help her in the days of famine, instead of to a Jewish widow. And how the Gentile Naaman was healed of leprosy instead of Jewish lepers. Is Jesus saying that God loves the Gentiles as much as He loves the people of Israel? That would be heresy. And the synagogue erupted into anger and violence. This peaceful worship service was suddenly turned into a lynch mob, which tried to kill Jesus. The people of Nazareth were not ready to receive God now. Maybe someday, but not now. For the coming of God now meant that they would have to change their thinking, change the way they saw the world and the way they saw God. They would have to see God in new ways, radically new ways. They would have to change the way they think and feel and act. And they weren't ready to do that. Better to kill Jesus than to change their minds and their lives. I believe we're pretty similar to those people in Nazareth. We are fine with God coming to us someday. Right now, we're pretty comfortable the way we are. We think we've got God figured out. We think we're living pretty good lives and are pretty much doing what God wants us to do. Oh, there may be some things we know we need to change, but someday we'll do it. Just not today. We like to procrastinate and put off as long as we can doing those things that are difficult to do. But the Bible is very clear. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the day of salvation for each of us here this morning. There's a sense of urgency throughout Scripture and certainly in the teachings of Jesus. We need to be ready for God when He comes to us. We never know when Jesus will return and the end of time will occur, at least in this world. And we must be ready for His coming. We're told that He will come like a thief in the night when we least expect it. So we must be ready. Now is the day of salvation, not in some distant future. What might that mean for us? Are there sins that are blocking our relationship with God? Some kind of barrier that we've set up? Now is the day to repent, to change our ways. Maybe you felt God leading you to do something new for Him. Now is the time to do it. We must not put it off or procrastinate. Now is the time to obey the Lord. Have you given all of your life to God? Harold and I, most of you know, we do a prison ministry together. And fairly often an inmate will say something like this: I've always loved the Lord. I've always been a believer. I would go to church pretty regularly on Sundays. But during the week, I would deal my drugs, or I would take my drugs. God demands all of us, not just Sunday worship, not just believing in Him, but total obedience with all of our lives. Now is the day of salvation for us as individuals and also for our church. How might God be asking our congregation to change? We're going to start exploring that next Sunday. I hope you're part of that conversation. Does God want us to worship Him in new ways? Does He want us to do ministry differently? How does God want us as a congregation, as a church, to change our thinking, our feeling, or our actions? I believe this year God is going to ask us to make some changes. They might not be what we would like to do. The future might not look like what we thought it would be. He might come to us in ways we never expected. But we need to be ready for that. God loves to surprise His people, and we need to be ready for whatever God brings our way. We may not like it at first, but if it is God's will, it will be good and perfect. Now is the day of salvation. Let us be ready for it. And let us welcome the Messiah more fully into our lives and the life of our church. And allow Him to lead us into a wonderful future. Would you join me in prayer? Sometimes You come to us, Lord, and You ask us to make changes, to change the way we see You or the world or other people, change the way we serve You or worship You. Lord, help us to be ready for whatever changes You bring us. For Your will is perfect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. from the dead, he appeared to some of his disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. It is true for us as well. Christ is made known to us as we break this bread and drink this cup together. Sisters and brothers, this is food for the journey to which God has called us. Let our lives be nourished by the Lord himself as we celebrate together at this table. We invite you to come up the center aisle and dip the bread into the cup and return along the side aisles. The Apostle Paul tells us that on the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Paul goes on to tell us that in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Paul then reminds us that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again. This is the Lord's table. It is Jesus himself who invites you to this meal. The table is open to all who believe and have professed faith in Jesus Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, to you be praise and honor for giving yourself, shedding your blood, and letting your body be broken in death for our sake, so that we might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Bless, O God, this bread which we together eat and the cup which we together drink. Let us, through this blessed bread and this blessed cup, become partakers of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Unite us with one another and with all your saints in heaven and on earth. Consecrate us, body and soul, to be a living, acceptable offering to you, so that in word and deed we may continually praise and glorify your holy name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Jesus invites you to come. Thank you.
sing together our closing hymn.